This week's parsha is Devarim. We're beginning now the final fifth sefer in the Torah, and what I want to do this Shabbos is basically just to focus on the opening pasuk or two psukim in the parsha, and maybe just talk a little bit about this final speech of Moshe. Sefer Devarim mostly is Moshe's final remarks to the Jewish people. It's interesting, if Rashi points out that Moshe is not the first person in the Torah, just prior to him passing away, sharing with those who were dear, near and dear to him, his final feelings and words of his hopes, aspirations, his dreams, all admonishments. We know already Yaakov Avinu. He also does this earlier in the Torah. At the end of his life, in fact, Rashi, I believe, tells us the following. Let's see where he says this. Rashi says that, or maybe it's the Ramban. One of them makes this point that at the end of his life, Yaakov does this. Yoshua also at the end of his life gives final words to the Jewish people. Shmuel Hanavi, at the end of his life, does this as well. So this is a common theme, and we know that many people themselves in their own lives they create not only halachic wills and regular wills, but people even have ethical wills. And ethical wills are often wishes and hopes and dreams, aspirations that they have for their loved ones, their community. People that they're close with, in terms of things that they want to share, that hope the people that were close to them during their life that will eternalize, even when they're no longer here in this world. And so Moshe again gathers the Jewish people together. And what's interesting is that the Netziv, in his opening comments on the Parsha. He says the following. The opening psukim are a little problematic to understand because, well, let's just read them. It says, Elu advarim, these are the things, the words, asher dibir Moshe kol Yisrael, that Moshe spoke to all of Israel. And then it lists a whole bunch of places. Be'ever ha-Yarden, on the other side of the Jordan, Bamidbar, in the desert, Ba'arava, Mul Suf, Bein Paran, Bein Tofel, Right. Now, so the question about Moshe said all these things in these multiple locations, again, it's a little confusing as to what it's referencing. And then the next pasuk is Achadasar Yomei Charev, Derech Har Seir Ad Kadesh Barnea. Right, it was 11 days from Chorev. Chorev is Har Sinai. He's jumping back now 40 years, like 40 years ago when they were received the Torah. So it was 40 years from Har Chore, which is Har Sinai, through the mountain of Seir of Edom to get to Kadesh Barnea, to get to this area. Now it's a very short journey. Right after the Jews received the Torah, just a couple of days would have been all they needed to get into the land of Israel. And now Pasuk Gimel, Vayhi ba'arba'im shana, now in the 40th year, Vashteyasar Chodesh Bechad the Chodesh, the 11th month, the first day. Dibir Moshe Bnei Yisrael. Now Moshe is speaking to the Jewish people, everything that God commanded him to tell them. So the Mefarshim all bothered by that. Perhaps that third pasuk should be the opening pasuk of the parsha. Vayhi ba'arba'im shana, wasn't the 40th year. Vashteyasar Chodesh Bechad the Chodesh. Dibir Moshe. Now Moshe is going to the 40th year. Now Moshe is going to speak. What's those first two psukim, right? These are the things that Moshe spoke, but it doesn't tell you what he spoke. And it just lists a whole bunch of locations, and then it tells you it was an 11-day journey from Har Sinai through Har Seir to Kadesh Barnea. So the Netziv, I thought this was interesting, just a pshat, just the simple explanation of what this pasuk is saying. He says, just to understand what Sefer Devarim is all about, Hainu kol sefer at Parshas Vayelech. These words, this first pasuk is an introduction to almost the entire Sefer Devarim. Hine lohayu kol hadvar ma'arabim ahein b'maymed echad v'lo b'yom echad. So if you read now the next, whatever, 10 odd parshios, it's a quite a long speech. So do you think the people had the attention span to listen to everything he's about to say? So the Netziv says no. Right, it's too much material, take too long, people are not going to be able to focus. So therefore the Netziv says that this wasn't in one shir, it wasn't even in one day. He gathered the people together over several times. This was not like the final speech. It was like his final month or something, you know, final weeks, where he brought the people together back on multiple occasions. Right, and he would speak, you know, would have these short conversations with the people. And where do these conversations take place? And now he's explaining the rest of that first pasuk. Bamidbar pam, Arava pam, Mulsuf pam, Bein Paran, Bein Tofel pam. All these places, says the Netziv, are just different locations where Moshe gave his speech. Right? It was each place was at, you know, it's like when you have like a speaker series. So you want to have it at, say, at people's houses. So tonight it's going to be at the, you know, Betty Rose is going to host tonight, and then Channing Eugene, you're going to host next week, right? Everyone's going to like a different, every week there's like a different host. So every week or every day or every few days, the Jews would continue a little bit of traveling, and they'd be a slightly different location, and that when Moshe would continue this final address. Okay. And then the next pasuk of, you know, the 11 days from Har Sinai until it would take to enter Israel. Hainu, here Akasov says Netziv, Sibas Hadvar Me'ilah, Mishum Shemitchila, Olam Mashava, Shiyu, Nechlasim Eretzel Maher. There's really none of this was necessary. None of this should have taken place. The Jews should have gone right into Israel. They should have gone right into Israel. It would have been just a couple of days after Har Sinai. Unfortunately, there was a delay. And a good chunk now of Parshas Devarim talks about the sin of the spies, about what happened and why there's this 40 year delay. So that's how the Netziv just understands this opening pasuk. It's basically just saying that Moshe is giving this final speech. It's taking place over probably a number of weeks at least, and it's in multiple locations. Those who are familiar with Rashi. No, Rashi has a very different interpretation of this opening pasuk, and really Rashi's interpretation is going to get at the core of what Moshe is going to try to accomplish. And I think, and it's an interesting question to think about in terms of, you know, if a person would like to give, you know, final words or share final thoughts, you know, again with people that are close to you. Family members, friends, people who look up to you. So, what would you share with them? And again, if you're Moshe Rabbeinu, what would it be that you'd like to tell the people, and how would you like to tell the people? And in addition to that, and the other thing I just want to address tonight is, to what extent was Moshe successful with this speech that he's going to share with the people? Now, to what extent that the words that he uses, do they make an impact, and do they have the effect that he's hoping? So Rashi says the following: Elo advar Moshe diber Moshe al kol Yisrael. Says Rashi, v'fishin divrei tochachos. You know what Moshe is mostly going to be doing right now? He's going to be rebuking the people. Moshe is gonna let them have it on some level. He's not gonna hold back, but he's going to be sharing some harsh things with the people, because after all, they really should have already been in Israel 40 years earlier. It was 11 days. That's the next pasuk. It would have taken them 11 days to get to get into and to enter into the land of Israel. So what took so long? What was the delay? So again, so Rashi, the fishing divine divrei tochachos, umana kam kol makomo shech isu lifnei hamakom bem. He's about to list all the places where they angered God. They did things that they shouldn't have. Now the Mefarshim point out in Rashi that it's not every place. Some places are not going to be listed here, but a lot of the places are. Rashi says something very sweet. He's about to mention a number of places, and the truth is, a lot of these places are not familiar to us. A lot of these places that are in this opening pasuk, we have not heard before in the past. So Rashi suggests that they are allusions to places where the Jews were, but Moshe didn't want to actually state the places. That would be too harsh, as he's going to be rebuking them. But even when you give rebuke, you have to do it with sensitivity, with compassion, and with wisdom to figure out how the person's going to receive it. Make sure they do receive it. So again, he's going to mention a bunch of places where they had a number of failings. Furthermore, who's he sharing this message with? So the next Rashi is El Kol Yisrael. He's speaking to the entirety of the Jewish people. Elo Hochiach Miksasan, so says Rashi, had he only shared this message with a few of them. And also again, Chazal talk about how did this message get out? This is before Zoom, this is before microphones, right? This is how is he supposed to speak? How is he supposed to hear them, all these people? Look at the Chazal talk about that often he would share first with Aaron. Aaron had already passed away at this point, presumably Elazar. And the Kohanim, the Zakedim, and they would probably like fan out and share the message. But the message was a message that had to be shared with everyone. Why, says Rashi? Ha'yo'elim shuk, oh, I'm sorry. Elo hochiach mitzasan, ha'yo'elu shebashuk, omrim, atem yisim shomim ben Amram, lo shivan davar. The people who would not be there, you know what they would say? The people who did not hear the message directly? They would say to the people who did hear it, why don't you respond? Why don't you defend ourselves? Why don't you speak up? And of course, there was no excuse because Moshe was going to share was the emes, was the truth. But Moshe didn't want there to be a Pesach, an opening for anyone to somehow think that they would have been there, they could have responded, and they could have defended themselves. I would suggest also another reason is that, sometimes if you're not there, you might think, well, it doesn't apply to me. It was only for that person. That person needed to hear it, but I don't need to hear it. So Moshe said, no, everyone needed to hear these messages. So, and then Rashi says, now starts defining all these places. Again, it says, Bamidbar, Baravam, Mosul, Bein Param, Beitofel, Lavad HaChatzeros, Bidi Zahav. And so Rashi says each one of these places, again, there's an allusion to a different sin that the Jewish people engaged in. Barava is Baal Peor. Mulsuf is at the Yam Suf when they wanted to run back to Egypt. Paran and Topel, Lavan, Dizahav, they're all allusions to different sins. And so this is Moshe's like opening salvo against the Jewish people to give this harsh critique. So fast forwarding it just a little bit. So what basically happens now in Sefer Devarim? Right, you go through Devarim, Deshanan, and Akev and Re'eh. What's going to happen is two things. Number one, Moshe's going to mention a whole lot of mitzvos, especially when it comes to Shoftim and Kisetze. He's going to mention a whole lot of mitzvos, but first of all, talk about, is he just repeating the mitzvos? Some mitzvos we know are for the first time that they're mentioned. And some say all the mitzvos that he's going to mention are applicable in the land of Israel. He's going to mention a whole bunch of mitzvos. That's number one. But number two, the other thing that he's going to emphasize over and over and over again is that if they want to be successful in the land of Israel, they should not repeat the mistakes of the past. And number two, they need to listen to Hashem and put their faith and their trust in Hashem. And if they keep the mitzvot like they're supposed to do, so this is like Parshas Akev, for example. which is where we find the second paragraph of the Kriya Shema, right? The Haya, it's all about if you do the mitzvah, so Hashem will be with you, and they'll bring the rain and the dew, and your crops will grow, and you have what to eat. But if you don't keep the mitzvahs, so then you won't have the rain, and ultimately you'll be exiled from the land. So there's a lot of that that appears in Sefer Devarim. And in addition, Moshe several times warns the Jewish people to be careful about the people who live in Israel, because they're going to entice you to follow after their idolatry and their beliefs. And if you're not careful, you're going to stray after them, and you're going to embrace, you know, what you see around you. He's going to share with them the people also being mindful that, you know, that hopefully you'll be successful in the land. You'll be productive, but don't forget that it's Hashem that's enabling you to be productive, enabling you to be successful. These are going to be the themes that Moshe is going to emphasize over and over again in Sefer Devarim. He's not going to be there anymore to save them, right? He's rescued them now in the past several times, but he's not going to be there in the future. And therefore, he needs to be very forceful to make sure that they get this message. And what's interesting is that he elects to begin his speech with, like, you know, very strong words. Right, he's got, again, the main thrust of Parshas Devarim is that, you know, if you're giving this final speech, you might be, if you were in school, I would give you like an assignment, you know, imagine you're Moshe, write a final speech to the Jewish people. So how would you start off? So you might start off with like some like nice words. No, you followed God into the desert, as Yosef, Lech Tachachem Bamidbar, Eretz Lo Zerua, you followed Hashem into the desert. You accepted the Torah. You ultimately did not run back to Mitzrayim. Like, you could have given words of encouragement, but that's not the tactic Moshe used. Moshe began like right away with like this very harsh criticism of the Jewish people. And clearly Moshe felt that was necessary and that was warranted, because again, the people, he needed to emphasize to the people that again, it's only by trusting Hashem and following Hashem says that you're going to be successful. And if you don't, there's going to be a repeat in terms of what happened over the last 40 years. So again, that's the main thrust of a Sefer Devarim. It's all about how difficult you were, and Moshe needed to get the elders to help out. Then again, a good chunk of the Parsha is all about the Chet HaMeragim, the sin of the sin of the spies. So I just want to end off by asking the question, so was Moshe successful? Right, did this speech do the trick? Well, the truth of the matter is, Moshe himself says at the end of the Sefer that he knows it's not going to do the trick. Right, because Moshe is going to say in the last few parshios that they're going to sin, right, and you're going to turn away from Hashem. Like he just knows, right? He just knows that that's what's going to happen, and he gives the Jewish people some chizuk, some strength that, you know, Hashem ultimately won't reject you. And ultimately, you will return at some point. And he calls the Hazino Shemayim, right? The end of the second last parsha, calls the heaven and earth to bear witness, you know, to these warnings and to these predictions and to, you know, what's going to happen throughout Jewish history. And so, you know, so if you're Moshe in Vizosa Bracha and he's about to pass away, like, what's going through your mind? What are you thinking? Are you thinking like you're a failure? Are you thinking that like everything that you did, everything you worked for, is like basically is not going to come to fruition? At least in any, and you know, certainly not in the short term. So I just want to suggest that I think, you know, and I think most human beings struggle with this. Like most human beings, you work really hard at life. Could be raising children, could be at whatever your job is. It could be in terms of your community, whatever you volunteer, and like you put in all this work, you put in all this this effort, and things often in life don't go as planned. Right? Often in life, things aren't ideal, and things don't necessarily work out the way you wanted it to work out. And people can like you feel like you know many maybe I was a failure or maybe it's you know I did all this you know maybe I was wrong or maybe I made mistakes or I, and I and it can be a little very depressing and very upsetting. But I think that maybe one of the takeaways from this and he's not the first one, Moshe, in the Torah. I think you can look at all the Avos in a similar fashion. Avram Avinu, right? Go back to Avram. What was Avram's legacy when he passed away? Who was following his teachings? So the answer is, at least from the Torah's perspective, how many people were following Avram after he passed away? The answer is one, right? Just his son, just Yitzchak. Right? We always speak. We speak about the Midrashim, talk about the Nefesh Asher Asu B'chara and all the people that he influenced. Like, what happened to them? Like, we don't see anything about these people. We don't see any people, embracing monotheism and things like that. In fact, the places, the whole area is full of idolatry. And yet, looking back at it now, 3,500, whatever, so years ago, later, so Avram changed the world, right? How many people today embrace the notion that there's one God, right? It's half the world population embraces that notion. It all started with one person, with Avram. And so, I just want to suggest that it could be like, our accomplishments, it's hard to, it's hard always to see them right in the here and now. But it doesn't mean that the positive things that we do don't have, long lasting imprints and effects. And again, it's just hard for us sometimes to see it. And it's not always we're not always given, the blessing of seeing, the impact of our actions. But that doesn't mean that what we do doesn't matter and doesn't make a difference. I always like to say, about in terms of like, who does history remember? History remembers very few people who live. All right, there's only there's one Abraham Lincoln and there's one Joan of Arc and there's one Moshe Rabbeinu. Most people history does not remember. Right, usually after a few generations after or even less after a person passes away, most people are not going to remember, but that doesn't mean that your life wasn't of great significance, and wasn't critical that you were here in this world. So I always like to point out that if you go back, let's say 800 years, so probably none of us know who our ancestors were 800 years ago, but guess what? None of us would be here without them, right? Those people. And you always wonder, like, who were those people, right? Who were those people, that we come from, and what struggles did they have, and were there moments in life where they questioned, their faith, and maybe they considered dropping everything and rejecting, and somehow they persevered and they remained committed, and we're here today because of them, because somehow they were able to remain committed. And again, we don't know who they are, right? We never heard of them. But if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be here. So that person's lasting impact and is incredible. I think Rasal Vachik is the one who said, could be others say this too. He says a very beautiful idea that the Gemara says on Yom Kippur, Rosh Yom Kippur, the Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei HaMeisim suchim lefanav, that the book of life and the book of death open before God. So most people assume what that means is that God has two books up there in heaven, and he's going to decide which book you're going to be inscribed for the upcoming year. You're going to live, you're not going to live out the year. Soloveitchik suggested that that's not the correct interpretation. He said the Sifrei Chaim is those who are living. That God's going to write down what's going to be for this upcoming year for you. The Sifrei HaMeisim, beautifully said, is those who have already passed from this world. Those people have passed away 800 years ago. And they're still being judged every Yom Kippur. What do you mean they're still being judged? They haven't been here for 800 years. So he said, no, the impact of their life is still being judged. Right? What they did is going to reverberate throughout the generations in terms of what they created and what they their accomplishments and how who they influence and how that kind of just trickles down throughout the generations. So we don't always see the immediate impact of our actions. And sometimes, you know, the things that we do and we, you know, sometimes we see things that upset us and disappoint us, and we feel that we failed in certain regards. My mother's here right now. I've shared with her in the past this idea that, you know, that I remember my grandfather was rabbi for so many years in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. So I remember a number of years ago, they sold the shul building and they downsized. It's like upsetting. He put his entire rabbinic career into this community. And, you know, now it's, you know, it was never a huge community, but it's nowhere where what used to be, and the school that's named after him. But it's, you know, the Ben Ishai was the rabbi in Baghdad. And there's no Jewish community left in Baghdad. Right? The Vilna Gaon was the great Vilna Gaon of, you know, of Vilna. And what's Vilna today? But, you know, we live and breathe the Vilna Gaon. And the Ben Ishai is, you know, for Sephardic Jews, they live and breathe the Ben Ishai. And all the Jews who have gone through Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, who are influenced, and, you know, by my grandfather and their children and their grandchildren and people who were serviced by him and helped by him, and the impact is we don't know how large the impact is, because we don't see it. We're not privy to see it. We're not blessed to see it. But it doesn't mean that our actions don't matter. And in fact, just the opposite. We believe as Jews, the Gemara says this explicitly, Mesechta Sanhedrin, that we're all put here for a reason. We're all put here to accomplish great tasks. And we all have the capacity, and hopefully we are able to do things that are able to, again, reverberate throughout the centuries and throughout the generations. So Moshe had to give this final speech. Like Moshe had to give his, and it's harsh and it's strong. And it could be that the people at that time were not yet ready to hear it or not ready to accept it. And you read through the Nevi'im and you see like how many, one failure after the other, how many times the Jews that don't listen to Hashem, turn away from Hashem. But looking now, fast forwarding, whatever it is, 3,500 years, you know, past Moshe Rabbeinu. So now look at Moshe's accomplishments. Like, look now how magnified it is. Look at everyone who studies his Torah, right? Look at everyone who studies this final speech of Moshe. Look at all the people who embrace, you know, Judaism because of Moshe. When he's on his deathbed, could he have imagined that? So again, there's a medrash that says God allowed him to look into the future. He was overlooking, he's standing on the mountain overlooking the land of Israel. But again, you know, how did he know that this was what was going to happen? And yet, you know, we're able to look backwards and say, look at that, look at, you know, what he accomplished. And so I can just suggest to us as well in our own lives, you know, we should never minimize the impact that we have made on others, and we can continue to make on others. And even if you don't always get the accolades and the thank yous and the appreciations and the, you know, we don't see everything, it doesn't mean that we're not making a difference. And it doesn't mean we're not accomplishing our goals. Our job is just to do what Hashem asks us to do, and, you know, and have the faith and have, you know, and have the, you know, put our trust in Hashem that not only are we doing what we're supposed to be doing, but our actions will matter, and that it's going to have, it's going to reverberate in a very positive sense throughout the many generations moving forward. Okay, just a little introduction into Sefer Devarim. Wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos.